And what is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Meeples and Mishaps, where we talk about board games and other fun stuff. I'm your host, Corey, and this is my other host,
Kaylin Barrick. And thank you for joining us again. We're excited to talk about another fun game. Before we get into this week's game, Corey, how's it going? What's been going on?
It's going good. It's been a pretty crazy, busy past couple weeks. Lots and lots of work. Work's been kind of nuts, but getting through it. Not too bad. It's just working and hanging out, really. What about you?
Nice. Much of the same. My office has finally transitioned back to being in the office since all of this COVID pandemic. So it's been quite a transition for me, having to figure out childcare and, you know, a 30-minute commute now and all that. So it's,
oh dang, 30 minutes.
It's been an interesting week or two that we've had to do that. So,
oh yeah, because you live outside of the south side of town, basically, and don't you work like way up on the kind of northern downtown area?
Yes. Yep. So I'm like almost the very last mile of town in the south, and then I have to drive all the way to the very north side of the downtown. Ugh. So it's not as bad as it sounds. Like, yes, if there's traffic or a wreck or even like rain or snow, it's gonna be pretty miserable. But there's always podcasts, there's always audiobooks. I mean, I can always listen to Meeples and Mishaps, you know, if I have to. So
I see what you did there. Very true. Yeah, so I'm assuming, yeah, with you going back to the office and everything, are you kind of missing working from home?
Definitely. Yeah, I really enjoyed working from home. It was just easier, you know, to kind of just roll out of bed. And, you know, it's like, start my meeting, you know, and, oh, I forgot my coffee. Let me just walk downstairs, grab a coffee, come back, and all right, still going. Now, you know, you have to get dressed. You know, it's a professional place, so I've got to get all dressed and fancy. And then, you know, it's like, oh, I forgot my breakfast, but I'm already on the road. I guess I'm not eating today.
You got one of them jobs.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, but.
Nice. Luckily with my job, so technically I'm one of the owners of my job, so kind of self-employed in that matter. But what's great is I can pretty much work from wherever I want. I have four coffee shops in town that I own and help run. So if I want to work out of the one on the south side of town, I can go sit there and work out of there, or on the north side of town, or I could just stay home and work from home that day if I want. That's kind of been nice. It's nice, but also at the same time, I can find myself getting very distracted sometimes, not having such of a set schedule, but it is what it is. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I am glad to be back doing another episode, because this is where the fun stuff is. And speaking of, we had just kind of mentioned with us having such busy weeks and stuff, it's actually been a while since we've played some board games. And that's never fun.
Yeah. I mean, I think I mentioned last episode, or maybe the episode before, about, you know, I've got four or five games that I bought during the pandemic that I've just not even opened yet. And it's a real bummer. I bought Bosk, for those of you know the tree game. I'm so excited to play it. And then my sister-in-law bought Pan Am. And so I've been super excited to play that too, and just haven't made it happen yet. So, all right, we're going to have to fix that, to remedy it.
Yeah. Well, we need to get together and play some games, so we'll fix that. Awesome. So we are back at it. We are here with another Waddington's game, another Waddington's classic. Actually, I found out this is kind of a Waddington's classic. A lot of people that have kind of been going through some forums and stuff actually really enjoyed this game, and it was on a lot of people's shelves. But the game we're going to be talking about today is called basically just Game of Dracula. Bum, bum, bum. Little vampire fun.
It's pretty interesting because a lot of the videos that usually most of the games that we cover from Waddington's, a lot of them we can't find anything on, like anything period. Yeah. And then the ones that we can, usually it's like maybe a rule book or maybe an old video or like a commercial, but like it's pretty sparse. This one, there's actually quite a lot of material out there that we were able to get our hands on, and a lot of it was pretty recent.
Yeah,
I think I found a video from like October of last year of somebody talking about it.
Kind of had a little resurgence.
Yeah, this game is definitely picking up again, and a part of it is there's one feature that is pretty unique and it's pretty bizarre. And it basically, as soon as we saw it, we had to cover this game.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll get into why that is. But it's a pretty interesting game. And, you know, if you end up liking it, I mean, I think it's actually pretty easy to find still, especially a used copy. The new ones may be harder, but it sounds like it's going to be pretty easy to find. So
yeah, there's definitely a lot of eBay listings and UK eBay listings. And I think there's even some like for trade, like in BGG for this game and stuff too. So yeah, you should be able to. So if you hear us, you know, talk about this game and you think this is definitely something I want to pick up, then you should be able to find it fairly easy and not be at such a hiked price. But before we get into the rest of that, we are going to take just a quick sponsor ad break real quick, and we will come right back after the ad and get right into it. All right, and we are back. Thank you guys for still hanging out. We are ready to get into this amazing, spooky game. All right. So, as we always do, let's talk about the box.
Yeah, so the box is not really anything to write home about. It's pretty boring. It's blue. It's got in big white letters, Waddington's Game of Dracula. And then it's got kind of this kind of old school artist rendition of these people trying to escape from this hallway. It looks like there's a little girl being chased by a big black bat. And then at the end of the hallway, Dracula is standing there all menacingly. It's fine. It just doesn't really tell you. It doesn't look all that exciting or interesting. It's just sort of a bland, well, here's a game, you know, if you want to try it out, you can.
Yeah, it seems like they tried to go for like these contrasting colors, you know, with the blue backdrop and the yellow pathway, kind of like this overhead shot of the castle, like maybe thinking that would pop or something. But yeah, there's definitely one of those things like not a lot going on. So it's may or may not be catching to the eye if you're passing this on a shelf.
Yeah, now there is an alternative box that has a giant Dracula looking guy on it, and he's like, and it looks like he's trying to pop out of the box and eat you. That one's a little better.
Yeah, a little more menacing. Yeah. All right, so Game of Dracula is, as you have, you know, pieced together, it is a game about Dracula. And in this game, you are trying to be one of four people trapped inside of his castle. You're trying to be the first one to escape. If you can be the first one to escape, you win. Now, this game, before we get into how to play and everything, this game was actually released in 1977 by, of course, Waddington's, who we are kind of dedicating this whole season to. And in 1977, this game came out. And so Dracula, who is Dracula? If you're listening to this, you probably have a pretty good idea of who Dracula is. Kaylin, I think you were looking up some stuff. Let's refresh some listeners on who Dracula is.
Okay, I love it. So Dracula was originated in a book. So the book was called Dracula. It was by Bram Stoker, or Bram Stoker, depending on if you're English or British. It was in 1897. So basically, it's just about a character named Count Dracula, who you kind of find out is a vampire. He moves to England, and then, of course, things happen, because obviously the English aren't going to just roll over and let the vampire eat them and drink all their blood. And so there's kind of a group of people that get together, and of course they're led by Van Helsing, which, if you're familiar with many of the the Dracula lore now, in current day, then you're obviously going to be familiar with Van Helsing as well. So that was 1897. And as I said, there's been plenty of other vampire and Dracula things that have come out since then.
So many.
It's hard to even to start. I mean, so taking the vampire idea to begin with, I mean, tons of movies. Van Helsing kind of got his own little spinoff. You've got all the Castlevania video games. There's so many. Even Marvel got in, and they've got Blade is a vampire. And then of course modern characters like Jubilee, who's one of my favorites. So I love that. But I mean, there's been Bram sort of created. I'm not gonna say he created the idea of the vampire,
well,
but I would
popularized
say like,
it.
Yeah, all of the tropes and all of the ideas, and like when you think vampire, whatever it is you're imagining is probably originated either from Bram Stoker or Stephanie Meyer, and hopefully it's the former.
I'm thinking of Edward Cullen, duh. Twilight, come on.
But you know, even Stephanie Meyer, like a lot of her ideas, I mean, I don't know about shiny vampires or anything, but a lot of those tropes originated from Bram Stoker. And so it really is thanks to him that we've got all of this incredible stories, horror stories that we can kind of pull from and read from and imagine. And we've got these video games and comic books and so on, and it's essentially all thanks to him. So pretty cool. And of course tons of board games. Game of Dracula is actually not the only Dracula board game that Waddington's made. And
that
of course,
true.
it's not the only Dracula game that anybody has made. So we picked this one because it had a fantastic little special treat in the box. maybe we should get into that now.
All right, yeah, let's get into basically the rules of this game, how to play, what this game is. So, like we kind of said, you are trapped inside of Dracula's home, which is his castle, and you are trying to escape. Now, this board is separated from this top-down look into Dracula's castle. You kind of have the turrets on the outside in the four corners. You have this yellow like cobblestone pathway that goes through the whole home. And so you have this yellow pathway that you as players follow. Dracula has this red pathway connected by like dots and lines that he follows. So his movement is a little bit more sporadic than the player's movement. And each room in this house has a different color on it. So that way you can separate the rooms by these colors. And that way, you know, if you and Dracula ever end up in the same room, something bad's going to happen. So in this game, it is a fiendish game of suspense and fun. Players plot their escape from Dracula's castle and move stealthily towards the exit. But beware, Dracula prowls the castle looking for a victim. So what you do is you take your little pawn. So there comes with four little pawn pieces. There is yellow, red, blue, and green. Typically your traditional colors. There are two vampire bats, a green and blue vampire bat, and then there's Count Dracula himself. You take Count Dracula, you put him on his little starting space, which is in the top right corner, and I do recommend you to go look at a picture of this board after you listen to this podcast so you can kind of understand what we're talking about. You place the blue bat on the number 5 space, you put the green bat on the green number 1 space on the board, and each player has their own starting spot on the board as well. And like I said, the goal is to be the first one to leave. The two exits are on the north side of the board, the very top. And you all start at the very south side, the very bottom of the board. And that is the setup, basically. And you have two dice in this game. There is one red die, which is the Dracula die, which has numbers 1 through 6. There is the player slash vampire bat die that has two number threes, two number fours, and two Vs on it. The Vs stand for vampire bat, and if that gets rolled, the vampire bats are activated, and basically they move. So on your turn, you roll the two dice. If you roll numbers on both of those, say your movement and bat die has a number four on it, and the red Dracula die has a four on it as well. Now you get to choose as a player, do I want to move first or do I want to move Dracula first? So say you want to move first, you pick a direction, left, right, up, down, wherever you're at, and you have to move your full movement in that direction. So you just follow the cobblestone path. You cannot move forward and then backwards. You have to go all the way in whichever direction you choose. And then Dracula moves in a counterclockwise path around the board. He always has to move counterclockwise, so that way he's kind of has these predictable movements. And then you move him the amount of spaces according to his die. And then when that player is done, it goes to, obviously, the next player. Now, on the movement and bat die, if you roll a V, then whatever you rolled on the red die, you look at that number. If it's a 1 through 4, you take the green bat and you move him to whichever number that was. And if it was a 5 or 6, you move the blue bat to either 5 or 6. What's crazy about this blue bat is all he does is move between both exits and blocks one. So if he's at 6, he's blocking that exit. If he's at 5, he's blocking that exit. So that's just kind of this weird little thing to kind of keep you from escaping. He kind of tries to block the door. And that's literally the way the game kind of goes back and forth. Now, there's something really interesting that happens. You can get caught by Dracula if he ends his turn in a space with you, or you end your turn in a space with him, meaning room. He captures you. And when you get captured, you get turned into a bat. And Kalen, what happens when you become the green bat?
So it's kind of cool. So the Dracula piece actually just lands on top. So like it looks like he like covers you up with his cape or whatever.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Takes you back to his coffin, his little room, and you become the green bat. Now, not only does the green bat piece now come and land on top of you, so like you actually get to move the green bat piece around, but in the box, you also get a very cool green bat mask.
Yes.
And it's paper, but it is terrifying. it's fuzzy, and it's got these big fangs, and I've seen a couple people with, you know, wearing them, and like if you get them in the right light, like it is creepy. They full on look like a vampire about to eat you. So whoever designed the mask did fantastic job.
Yeah, they really did.
But yeah, and so then you just your gameplay changes, and so now you're wearing this mask, and you roll your die again. Except this time, if you get a V, the V still can move. Okay, wait. So the V still moves the bats.
Yes.
So if it's a 1 through 4, you move the green, your piece, the green bat, to whichever of the four.
Yes.
If it's a 5 or 6, you still move the blue bat.
Yes.
Otherwise, if it's two numbers, you no longer move Dracula. You get to move the cumulative of all the die towards another player.
You become and very fast. Goal,
yes, your goal as the green bat is to eat another player, and basically you hot potato, you give them the green bat, and you go back to your normal pawn, and you try and move out. And so it gets a little finicky because I'm going to end up one space past him, and then on his turn he's gonna roll, and if he gets numbers, he's just gonna give it right back to me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you kind of have to choose. I mean, obviously you want to get rid of it if you can get rid of it, but because otherwise you can't escape from the mansion as a green bat. So yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty interesting little mechanic. I'm kind of surprised that this game had that mechanic. I mean, there's lots of other modern games that have that, but It seems like it would be ahead of its time. I don't have really anything to base that on other than just kind of my general, based on other games we've reviewed or looked at. This seems kind of interesting and fresh, I guess. It's kind of a new idea
Yeah, it's
for
kind of
this
that.
time, so.
It's kind of very simplified trader mechanic. You know, when you become the bat, it's like, oh, now there's a traitor among us, you know, and you're now working for Dracula and working with him to screw over another player because you have to screw over another player so you can be free of the bat and you can escape before everyone else does. You know, so yeah, you're right. It's definitely for that time period, you don't see a lot of games that do that. You know, so it's definitely interesting that they built that into this game.
Yeah, and then of course the only other caveat to this whole Green Bat movement is that there are also candelabras
Yes.
on certain spaces, and the Green Bat simply can't move through those. So the Green Bat moves completely normal. It begins to move on the cobblestones as well, just like a normal player would, but it just can't pass through these
Too much
candelabras.
light.
So,
Too much light for the
yes.
bat. Yeah, so let's get down to some of the little more specific rules of the game as well when you're playing. So, like you said, there are candelabra spaces on the board that a player can move over. A player cannot end their turn on a candelabra space, but they can freely walk through those. And on your turn, you can choose to, like I said, you can choose to move backwards, forwards, left, or right. You just have to continue that path. There are also these little hidey hole spaces on the board. They are marked in orange. And basically what that means is on your turn, if you have enough, you have to end your movement on there. So if you rolled a four, the hidey hole has to be a number four that you kind of go off the beaten path to get on. And if you land on that hidey hole space and Dracula ends his turn in your space, he can't find you. So that's kind of like a little safe space to keep you from getting caught, but you have to roll the, you know, the amount. In most roll and move games, you kind of have to have the exact amount to land on it. Also, if you're the green vampire, so if there's a green bat already in play and someone else gets captured by Dracula, you get taken to Dracula's lair, but you don't become a bat. You just kind of have to start over. So there's this like long hallway on the very right side of the board that you have to work your way down to the bottom of the board, and then start over again. So it kind of sucks being the second person caught by Dracula because then you just kind of have to restart all your movement over again. So
Yeah,
sometimes it's better to become the green bat.
and mechanically it kind of doesn't make sense, but you know, it is what it is. It's probably better than just being out of the game, I guess,
Yeah.
which is obviously the fear with most competitive board games, but.
Yeah, and that's pretty much how you play Game of Dracula. It's a lot of kind of just, you know, rolling the die, kind of seeing what happens. There is some strategy that comes in with it, with depending on where you want to move. If you want to hop behind this candelabra, you know, so that way the bat can't make its way through it. But it's a very straightforward game, but it's kind of got some cool concepts, you know, especially with that trader mechanic kind of thrown in there. It's pretty neat. And like, I mean, it looks pretty decent. That mask is kind of the cool factor, I guess, you know. Some people say if you're the green bat for too long, it gets kind of annoying to wear it, but you know, it's a game that comes with a prop. Now, one cool thing, or not cool thing, one interesting thing we found while researching this game. If you remember in our past few episodes, we've been talking about Waddington's cashing in on cash grabs, you know, with some putting out games in correlation with some big event or movie or something. So this game was published in 1977, right? Now, in the UK, there was a pretty big popular movie that came out in 1977, and it was called Count Dracula. Now, I'm not saying that Waddington's did it again, but I'm kind of saying Waddington's may have did it again.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the trend that we've picked up, is that Waddington's is absolutely shameless, and rightly so, right? They're a business; they're trying to make money, and so they are fully capitalizing on these huge properties that also have other portions of the property coming out at the same time. So we saw it with WWE and then now we're seeing it with Dracula. So, kudos to them, but also, you know, it's kind of a cash grab. This game to me doesn't feel as much as a cash grab, because there is definitely some thought going into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's not the greatest game ever, but it's better than, you know, WEW Super Slam, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. At least this game, there's definitely a little bit of, there's some strategy to it, you know, and so also a thing to note, like this is the edition we're talking about. So the very, very, very first edition of this game that came out, it actually had a spinner and not dice. And so you did a spinner and it spun around, and everyone knows spinners tend to cheap out after a while, and then it gets very skewed and sometimes numbers won't ever get hit anymore. So they put out the dice edition shortly after. So there are a few editions of this game out, but the dice version is definitely the better version. And it's still pretty cool. Like you said, there was definitely some thought put into this, even if it was a cash grab, or maybe not. It could have just been very coincidental they came out the same year. But I would like to know who designed this game and what other games he or she designed.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it is good, and it does feel, like we said, a little ahead of its time. And so if whoever that was making this at that time, I mean, I'd be interested to know what they're making now or made.
Absolutely.
Since this one. So
yeah, so kudos to you, Waddingtons.
Yeah, for once. So how about we let's jump into our final thoughts.
Absolutely. You want me to go first this time?
Yeah, I'll go for it.
All right. Final thoughts. Okay, so Waddingtons, you did it again. You somehow managed to cash it in during a big release of whatever your game was made after. Regardless, this was actually a fun one. This was actually pretty neat. I'm trying to get my hands on a copy of this, which I wanted to get it in before we did the review. But some of the eBay sellers was going to take quite a while to get in. So I'll probably still get it after this, but, after doing all the research and going through playthrough videos and stuff, this is kind of a pretty cool game. It's very light still. So it's going to be one of those games that catches on really easy, to learn how to play it. It's light. It's got some fun factors. Definitely their selling factor was the mask. I think that was kind of what they were probably going for. When they made it, it's like, oh, we're going to include a prop. We're going to make it fun. You know, you're going to make you want to play it because like, oh, I want to wear the mask, or no, I don't want to wear the mask. You know, so it's going to be that tension of playing the game. You know, having the whole little mini trader mechanic was a neat idea in this game where you can actually, you know, chase around the other characters and have some strategy, see which route you're going to take to try to get there quicker. Can I move Dracula into this space of this other player? And one thing I will say, a two-player game of this is probably not the best. Three or four players is where it's at, because there's going to be that tension throughout the whole game. So Waddingtons, I know that we typically make fun of all of your games, but this is one of the ones that I'm going to put in kind of the middle ground there and say, well done. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, so this game is definitely interesting for me. When we picked it out simply for the green mask, the green bat mask, I had very low expectations. I expected us just to make fun of the mask and everything that it represented. But surprisingly, the game actually turned out to be a pretty decent game. The majority of reviews that I saw, a lot of people had issue with the variability of the length of the game. There were some people who the blue bat that was blocking one of the exits just kept, like, every time they would be one space away and then the blue bat would move there. Then they'd have to move back, and then on their way back they'd get eaten by Dracula, and then and so, like, the games would just take forever. And so obviously for a game, I don't know if we mentioned this, the game was supposed to be for 7-year-old and up. So, I mean, I think for somebody who's younger, maybe the first time you get eaten or something, it might be fun. But At some point, this game would get to the point that you're ready to be done. Everybody gets eaten by Dracula. And so, you know, those are definitely some comments, and the fact that several people had those comments, I think probably makes it ring true. But overall, I mean, I think this would be a fun game. I think it would be fun to play with different people. I don't know if you'd want to play it over and over and over. But even just having a couple, you know, friends over, have dinner or whatever, and play a quick game. Like, that's one of the things that it's kind of getting harder to find. It's just a really quick, easy game. There's no, like, you don't need explanations. You just play it. Now there are other games that I think I kind of like more, which isn't surprising, right? Because we should have progressed as game makers since that time. Especially if they were just trying to make a cash grab, right?
Yep.
And so, you know, games like, Nuns on the Run or Betrayal on the House. So those, yeah, you know, they're definitely different. They're different games, right? But if you really want that betrayal mechanic, I mean, Betrayal is, it's in the title, right?
Yeah.
The Nuns on the Run kind of has that, it kind of has more of like a, you don't know what's going to happen, type mechanic. And those, I mean, those are both quite a bit of fun. And so, of course, I'm going to pick one of those over this if I'm having game night, but I'm not opposed to this game. I don't think if somebody came over and said, "Hey, I brought Game of Dracula," I would definitely play it. I'd be all for it. And I'd bring my son. I'd be like, "Hey, let's play. Let's play this vampire game. Don't ask me what a vampire is, but let's play it." You know, and so, yeah, I think I'm pleasantly surprised by the quality of this game. I do think it was a cash grab, but I do think they actually put thought into it. And I do think they, at least for the time, they made a pretty quality game. So those are my thoughts.
Awesome. Yeah. So go pick this game up, find it on eBay, or hopefully you get lucky and find it in the thrift store. I love finding the thrift store finds. So hopefully you'll get lucky and find it there. But that's all the time we have for you all today on this episode. Thank you so much for hanging out with us as we talked about Game of Dracula. We are so glad to be back again, making episodes for you. But stay tuned. We got a lot more coming from Waddington's for you. You're not going to want to miss the next ones. Thank you again to Anchor for letting us put this podcast out. Quirkosity for all your support. Until next time, I guess I'm Corey.
And I'm Kalen. And we'll catch you later.
This has been a production of the Quirkosity Podcast Network, a network of small to mid-sized independent podcasts with the same goal, to have fun and keep it quirky. Quirkosity, where podcasts and quirky meet. Visit quirkosity.com today to find out more.